Blog Talk Radio.
Radio coverage for your Miami
gentlemen. I'm Joshy Lurie, and I'm joined by my co-host, Coach Sylvia Guevara, and Jihad. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Excited about tonight's matchup with the Cavs. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, awesome.
Feeling great.
I think it's going to be a great matchup. You know, LeBron, it's always fun when we play him.
That is right. And before we start to talk about the game, I'd like to get your guys' thoughts on some of the matchups in the starting lineup. So I'm going to go through what the projected starting lineups are for both of the teams tonight, starting with the Cleveland Cavaliers. At point guard, Mo Williams, the veteran who in his second stint with the Cavaliers is getting the start, as he will be until Kyrie Irving is back recovered from that broken kneecap he suffered in game one of the NBA Finals. At shooting guard, J.R. Smith is the starter. LeBron, of course, is starting at small forward. And in the front court, he is joined by Kevin Love at power forward and Timofey Mozgov at center. And for the Miami Heat, we've got the same starting lineup as the season opener, with Goran Dragic and Dwayne Wade holding down the backcourt, and Lil Dang at small forward with Chris Bosh and Hassan Whiteside at the 4 and the 5, respectively. So, who would you say has the advantage in the point guard matchup?
Oh, that's an easy one. Dragic, most definitely. Younger, I think he's better. Even though Mo Williams could shoot, but he's not the same player as he was before. So, I go with Dragic.
I think you definitely got to give the edge to Wade. You're talking about a Hall of Fame shooting guard. J.R. Smith is not the best defensively. And J.R. Smith tends to put up, you know, shots that are untimely. And I think I'd give the edge to Wade in this situation.
Yeah, I agree with you both. One of the biggest advantages for the Heat in this matchup is the backcourt. Because you've got to remember, both of Cleveland's starting guards, Iman Shumpert and Kyrie Irving, are both out with injury at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, moving for Sylvia, are you about to say something?
No, go for it. Go for it, John.
Okay. So, moving forward up on the lineup, we've got LeBron James seeing a familiar face in Lil Dang, as the two had a bunch of battles throughout the decade when Lil Dang was part of the Chicago Bulls and LeBron James in Miami and in Cleveland.
Right.
So, who do you think has the edge in this matchup?
Oh, of course, LeBron James. Even though Dang, he was more aggressive when he was in Chicago. Of course, he was younger. But now he's less aggressive on defense. I think he's getting better, but he's just less aggressive now as he's getting older. LeBron, most definitely.
You know, I'm going to actually go out on a limb and say Dame here because, you know, Dame looks very fresh. Last year, you know, he was playing banged up all season. A lot of minutes in Chicago kind of caught up to him, but, you know, he's always handled LeBron. You can't ever stop LeBron, but you can hope to contain him. So I think I'd give the edge to Dame here, and especially defensively.
Hey, I understand the logic behind your reasoning, especially even in the season opener. LeBron James, even though he was still effective, and you could tell he was the best player on the court, he really didn't look like the dominant player he's looked like for the last decade. And you're correct in saying that Lil Dang is one of the defenders who's had the most success containing James, seems, out of any other perimeter defender.
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, Dame on the wing, it definitely has always helped. And, you know, Dame, he's lanky. Something LeBron has never been good against, lanky defenders. So I think you definitely, defensively, and again, like you said, you can only contain LeBron. He's going to get his 20, 25 points every game. But you just got to hope to get a loss.
Yeah, the best you can hope for is to make him work so much for those 25 points that he isn't the playmaker, a rebounder, and the just overall world beater that he normally is. All right. Now, at the four, we've got Kevin Love going up against Chris Bosh, and I feel like this is the most important matchup in the game and probably what's going to decide it. So what are your thoughts on who's got the edge in this one?
Oh, boy. I see it even. I can say who's going to be better than the other. This is a tough one. This is a good one, Kevin Love versus Chris Bosh.
Yeah, even going back to last year, you know, they had some very interesting matchups. But defensively, you'd obviously take Bosh because when Bosh first got here, you know, his liability was defense. But now you definitely want to give him the edge as far as defense. And yeah, I think Bosh has definitely developed his three-point shot. And Kevin Love, you know, he still looks like he doesn't fit in Cleveland, if you ask me. I mean, he's uncomfortable in Cleveland. I would give the edge to Bosh here.
I agree with you that you got to give the edge to Bosh because Bosh originally, when he first joined the Heat, looked like he was a defensive liability. But over the years, he has developed into one of the better low post defenders. Even though that's not what he excels at, and that's not his game, banging in the post. And even though Kevin Love has the potential to be one of the best low post players, that's really not how Cleveland's been using him. They've used him as a glorified stretch four, posting him up around the three-point line for the majority of his time in Cleveland. But I do think that Bosh has to get the edge clearly because Kevin Love still isn't where he needs to be on the defensive end. Like, we're still talking about a guy who probably will be subbed out for Tristan Thompson in the fourth quarter if the game's close, just because Tristan Thompson can do all the things on defense that Kevin Love can't do.
Yeah, and one thing I think you got to look at is the fact that they're trying to use Kevin Love like Miami Heat did Chris Bosh. It's not working out for him. I don't think he's fit because LeBron needs more of a Chris Bosh type player who has a better outside shot and who can also make noise in the post. But another thing is, like you said, going back to the Tristan Thompson thing, Tristan Thompson's a proven rebounder, way better defender. And he is a guy that they would use in crunch time because, especially with healthy Kyrie Irving, they could have about three or four guys on the court that can create their own shot.
Yeah, exactly. But I have to give this counterpoint. I feel like as Kevin Love gets more comfortable in Cleveland, and remember, he's also playing himself back into shape after missing basically all of the summer playing basketball because of that torn labrum, which he suffered, torn rotator cuff, which he suffered in the first round of the NBA playoffs against Boston last year. So as he gets back into the rhythm of things, I think that he could be used a lot like Chris Bosh, at least on the offensive end, and that will greatly increase his value to the team. But like I said earlier, Bosh has the advantage in this matchup right now. And now, finally, to the center position, we've got Timofey Mozgov against Hassan Whiteside. What are your thoughts?
Well, I say definitely Whiteside because, well, on the defensive side, Whiteside. Not on the offensive side yet because he's still learning, you know, he's still not experienced. But on the offensive side, I think Whiteside has it down.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go Moss. He didn't look comfortable in his first game. I think he was trying to do too much. I think he'll settle down this game. I think he'll stop trying to look like an offensive center. He needs to stick to his game, which is commanding paint.
Yeah, I feel like there are two different components to this answer. If you're talking about the mental aspect of the game, I would have to say Timothy Mozgov. During the playoffs last year, he showed how instrumental he can be to the defense of the Cavaliers, and also he can be that low post threat when they need them, but he doesn't have the physical tools that Hassan Whiteside does, who, I mean, has the potential to be one of the best defensive players in the league, with his shot blocking ability and that 7'5" wingspan.
Exactly. Yeah. If he gets his mind right, he could definitely be one of the best centers.
Yeah, I think
just mentally.
Yeah, I definitely think Hassan Whiteside just didn't look comfortable that first game, but he'll get back to normal playing shape.
Yeah. I just don't want to see him posting up anymore because that was painful to watch. That's more painful than a Dwight Howard post up, and there aren't that many things that are more painful than those. All right, and now looking at the bench, who would you say has the advantage in terms of the bench depth and the impact they'll have in the game?
Hands down, Miami. They got Winslow, Green, Tyler Johnson. They got Haslam, who can still play. Berman, if they put him in. So hands down, Miami, most definitely.
Yeah, Miami, one thing they always lacked was depth. But this year, I mean, you saw first game they had a 10-man rotation, and that second team looked like they had a lot of chemistry. Gerald Green was knocking down his threes. Winslow looked very solid off the bench in his first career game. I would definitely give the edge to Miami.
Yeah. And Winslow, I feel like, is going to play a huge part because part of the key for Miami staying in this game is throwing different defenders at LeBron James, just fresh defenders, so they can continue to wear him down. And Justice Winslow will have I see him playing at least 15 minutes guarding LeBron James. And if he can be as effective as he was in the opener, that is going to be a huge boost for the Heat.
Yeah, definitely. I think, it's tough. Your second career game, you're asked to guard LeBron James. That's crazy. But the fact that Winslow looked really good, you know, he's a very good rebound. The offense, improvement, that jumper doesn't look like it's, you know, very solid yet. There will be a viable.
Okay. And now, what do you guys think would be the key for the Cavs to winning tonight's game?
Go for it, John.
Excuse me?
No, go for it. No. John?
Yes?
Go for it.
Oh. Please. No, because they won't. You saw them kind of turn it around after that Moss and Tristan Thompson trade. No company. You have J.R. Martin Wade. LeBron is a. He's in the place. He can put up points in their first team. Even if we need to.
Okay, yeah, I feel another key for the Cavaliers to win this game is controlling the offensive glass because, like we said earlier, Tristan Thompson is a beast there. Kevin Love, throughout his career, even though not so much last season, has been one of the best offensive rebounders in the game. And like we talked about on previous shows, the Miami Heat aren't the best team at rebounding. Last year they were one of the worst teams, and even though they're not going to be that bad with with Hassan Whiteside playing and Chris Bosh back in the lineup, they still are going to struggle containing keeping up with the Cavaliers' rebounders. Silvio, what do you think is a key for the Cavaliers winning this matchup?
Well, LeBron, you know, being healthy with his back, if he's good with his back, you know, he's going to dominate the game. He's going to, you know, help his teammates score. And I think if the bench steps up, the Cavaliers bench, I think they'll win it. Rebounds, you know, LeBron is on point with his threes. So if LeBron is healthy, I think they will definitely win the game.
Yeah. I also feel another thing that would be important for the Cavaliers to do to win the game is to have LeBron control the tempo and run their offense. Because he is, as we saw last season, he's the best point guard that Cleveland has on their roster, even when Kyrie Irving is healthy. And because he can do so much, and he just sees the court so much better than everybody else. And exactly. I also feel like if they can force Hassan Whiteside into taking some early fouls, that would be huge because that will open up the paint and allow them to get easy baskets around in the restricted area. Because we saw against Charlotte in the season opener that the defense was like the difference in the paint scoring for the Hornets was night and day when Hassan Whiteside was there. He didn't even have to be within like 3 feet to be changing shots because the players knew he had the ability to block those shots.
Definitely, yeah. If Whiteside is in foul trouble, that's going to be a lot of concern because Sotomayor is still questionable. So then they have to move Bosh to center.
And
that's going to be
like
a huge concern.
Like I said, Bosh can be a center, but that isn't where he's best. And if he's going up against Timothy Mozgov, that could become a real issue.
Yes, it can.
All right. Jihad, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So what else do you think would be a key for the Cavaliers to walk out with a win tonight?
Yeah, I think to rebound. If the Heat are a lot better than the Heat, you saw McGraw versus Barry Glass. He's a lot healthier and stronger. Whiteside definitely struggled to get a.
Yeah, that we did mention about the rebound though before. That is going to be a huge thing for the Cavaliers, if they want to win the game. They've got to dominate the boards, which by all means they should be doing. They, when it comes to rebounding, at the top three positions, at the three front court positions, I would say they have the definite edge. Maybe not so much with Kevin Love since he's coming off of injury, especially that rotator cuff, which going up with his shoulder is still got to be a major concern for him, especially the way that his shoulder was dislocated when he was fighting for a rebound.
Another big key matchup to look at is the three-point shooting, because the Heat can definitely shoot the three. Gerald Green was on last game, especially off their bench. Winslow only hit 1-3, but he only took 1-3. Gerald Green looked really good. McRobb can still stroke that three ball. I would definitely agree.
Yeah, but on the other side, they've got to watch out for J.R. Smith, because we know, even though he isn't always the most efficient player, it can take, at a moment's notice, he can catch heat just like Gerald Green can, and before you know it, a two-point lead becomes a 10-point lead.
I agree. He had torn it in the last year's finals, so he could definitely turn off and turn on the switch. I agree.
Now, what do you guys think are the keys for Miami winning tonight?
Well, like I said in the previous shows, I think it's the second unit that Spoelstra has, which is Winslow, Green, McRoberts, Chris Bosh. If he keeps that unit, the second unit, I think that's the key for me. And plus rebounds. They got to get those rebounds.
Yeah, I feel like that second unit definitely has an advantage against Cleveland, especially because half of Cleveland's second unit is in their starting lineup right now. Like,
yeah.
Say this game was happening in March this season, we're talking about Iman Shumpert and Kyrie Irving being the starters, so Mo Williams would be matching up with Mario Chalmers and not Goran Dragic. And I feel like
exactly.
This has to be the time they take the most advantage of those mismatches. One of my notes here is that taking advantage of the guard matchup, especially Goran Dragic, not having to defend Kyrie Irving, gives him more energy to operate on offense, and he needs to get his dribble penetration going because, as we saw last week, that's when the Heat offense really started clicking, when he started getting into the paint, getting himself layups, and setting up other teammates for easy layups.
Yeah, he needs to take advantage of that lineup, definitely.
Yeah, and like you said, Goran Dragic not having a fire is huge because he can use that energy that he might be on defense over there on the offensive end, creating shots for other people.
Yeah. Another key, and I kind of mentioned this when I was talking about the keys for Cleveland winning the game, but a key for Miami is Hassan Whiteside staying out of foul trouble. Like I said earlier, it's night and day, their interior defense, when Hassan Whiteside is in and when he's out. And you know LeBron James is going to be coming out aggressive, try and get some early fouls on him or frustrate him into playing out of his game and trying to do too much like he did against Charlotte before Spoelstra sat him down for basically all of the first half.
The foul trouble is going to be key.
That's going to be key, yep.
All right, and another thing is it goes back to rebounding, especially keeping Tristan Thompson off the offensive glass. There's a reason why Cleveland is paying so much money for what amounts to a sixth man in Tristan Thompson, because he is one of the best players in the world when it comes to taking care of the offensive glass.
You're right, absolutely right. They have to stop him, definitely.
Yeah. And then my last 2 points are you've got to contain LeBron James as much as humanly possible. And like we said, that's throwing multiple defenders at him. I wouldn't be surprised if Gerald Green takes some time guarding him, even though Green isn't necessarily the best defender. If, like I said earlier, Justice Winslow will definitely take some time guarding him. And also force Mo Williams and Matthew Dellavedova, the 2 point guards who Cleveland's going to be running tonight, to be the ones to initiate the offense, because that will take away so much of LeBron's game. Because as we all know, it's not just scoring and rebounding, it's the total package that LeBron brings on offense when he's
right.
Bringing the ball up and taking full view of the court and everything that's happening.
I agree.
All right. And it looks like due to technical difficulties, we have lost Jihad on this call, but we will continue with this episode. So, Sylvia, what else do you think is a huge key for the Heat to do to make sure they come out of Quicken Loans Arena with a W?
Well, like we mentioned before, the rebounds are key. They did well in the first night versus the Hornets. Winslow got rebounds, Green got rebounds, Bosch got rebounds, even Haslam, of course, that's a given. So I think rebounds and defending LeBron, that I think that's going to be key.
Yeah, and I also
defense always
like,
wins games, so.
Yeah, I also feel like if Miami can control the tempo and get Goran Dragic out on the fast break, that will be huge because, one, Cleveland doesn't have that many bodies that they can continue to throw out just because, like I said earlier, they are missing two of their best players. And we haven't even mentioned these are the players who's on the starting lineup who the Heat have who are dealing with injuries. Kevin Love and Timofey Mozgov both are recovering from off-season surgery, and then LeBron James has been having issues with his back, missed a couple of preseason games because of that. Hey, Jihad, great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, sorry, I got disconnected for a second.
Hey, it happens sometimes. But, Jihad, what would you say is the final key for the Heat winning tonight's game?
They definitely need to get out on the break. They didn't show it a lot last game. Obviously, it's been lacking since LeBron has left. But they definitely need to get out on that fast break with, I would say, that second unit. You got Gerald Green, who's so great on the break. Justice Winslow, you know, he's a great ball handler for his size. Same with McRoberts. So definitely push the tempo. Don't let the Cavs get in their half-court offense.
Yeah, that's actually the point I was just making. Yeah, but you brought up, especially with the second unit, because when you bring in those fresh legs and the playmakers that the Heat have there, it can blow the game wide open. All right, now real quick before we leave, we want to give our game predictions. Now, right now I'm looking at the Vegas odds, and Cleveland is a 5.5-point favorite. Now, do any of you agree with that Vegas line?
I don't agree with that. They'll win it by probably by 5 or 7 points, but they'll win the game. That's my prediction.
No Kyrie. Yeah, Mo Williams looks a lot more comfortable with the Cavs, but no Kyrie and no Iman Shumpert. I'm going to go Heat 101, Cavs 95.
Okay, I feel like it's going to be in that 7-point range. I definitely think the Heat will be able to break 100 points. So I'd say 195 Miami Heat. That's what I'm giving as the final score. And fans, be sure to tune in after the game. Jihad and I will be with you on the post-game show. Now, does everybody want to give a quick Twitter call shout-out and let all of our listeners know where they can reach you to talk about the game tonight?
Sure. This is Coach Guevara at Coach Guevara 205.
Yes, and mine's going to be Jihad Shatara at J Shatara NFL.
All right. I'm Joshie Lori at JILORI_SEN. And you can tweet to our station, Miami Sports and Lifestyle, at these Twitter handles, at MSL Radio. And one second. At 305 Sports and Life. Again, at 305 Sports and Life, this has been your Miami Heat pregame show. As I said earlier, be sure to tune in later for the postgame show. I'm Josh. I've been here with Sylvia and Jihad, and we will talk to you after the game ends. The heat is on.